So many smiling faces. I love it. Love it. Well, we're on this line, exercising our spirit.
Amen.
To enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Have you guys been practicing exercising your spirit?
Amen.
You know, this term, exercising your spirit, has been, you know, we use this term a lot. You know, and sometimes we kind of take it for granted. We kind of overlook it, but I got to understand the spirit. Everything in our Christian life has to do with our spirit.
Amen.
And we need to exercise our spirit, right?
Amen.
To enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
So I hope whenever you hear this term, exercising our spirit, that you get excited. If you don't get excited, you should get convicted of saying that you should get excited. Okay? So, hallelujah. Hallelujah for our spirit.
Amen.
In this line, we're going over the exercising the spirit to muse on the word of God. Who heard this word before, to muse on the word of God? Who's never heard it before? Some? Okay. Well, I wasn't that familiar with this terminology, to muse on the word, but looking into it, it's all over the Old Testament. It was very, very much practiced by the psalmists, and so we can also practice. And I'm telling you, the more I get into this, it's a game changer. You know, we've always heard about, you know, calling on the Lord, which is, you know, we need to call on the Lord to exercise our spirit, to pray, read the word, but to muse on the word, it has so much meaning. And it has so much feeling. So, you know, if we could practice this, this can really revolutionize the way we get into the Word. It can make our enjoyment of the Word so much more deeper, with so much more feeling. And, you know, so this is the burden of this today, for this session, is that first, we would learn to love the Word. We would treasure the Word. And we will practice getting into the Word. In this case, by musing on the Word, right? And, you know, we should, you know, a lot of times, for me, I need to, when it comes to getting into the Word, it helps to really get out of any kind of formality. We have these rituals, practices that kind of restricts us. But this matter of musing, it includes prayer, yes, includes prayer reading, also includes rejoicing, also includes speaking to oneself,
amen,
reciting, right? What else? It includes all these aspects that would help us to enjoy the word. So do not restrict yourself. Do not limit yourself by just, you know, being one-dimensional and just like sitting in your room, just like closing your eyes and, you know, that sometimes we need that, but for us to really, you know, it should be enjoyable. That's what I'm trying to say. Getting into the Word should be enjoyable.
Amen.
It shouldn't be dry. If it's dry, you need to try something different, because the Word is spirit and life.
Amen.
And unless you're receiving, you should be full of the Spirit when you're getting into the Word, right? So I wanted to cover, I looked up the definition for the word muse, and it might help us to understand what it means. There are many words to describe it. It's to think closely, to have a deep thought, to ponder, to consider, to wonder, to remember. You know, in King James Version, this word is translated as to meditate. So, in the whole Bible is full of ones that are musing on the word, that are meditating on the word. And we should also follow in the same footsteps in order for us to really enjoy the word, right? So, let's read Roman numeral 1 together.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall muse upon it day and night, so that you may be certain to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous.
shall muse upon it day and night. This is a command. We should muse upon the word day and night. How about we just read A and B, and I'll share some more.
Joshua led the children of Israel to enter the God-promised land, and to take it, possess it, allot it, and enjoy it. The land of Canaan with all its riches typifies the God given Christ with all his unsearchable riches.
God's encouragement. So we see here in Joshua that God is charging Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the good land, right? And he charges them to take it, possess it, right? And to allot it, enjoy it. You know, so this, the good land, typifies the unsearchable, all-inclusive Christ with all his unsearchable riches, right? And today, where is this unsearchable riches in our experience? Where is it? In the Word.
Amen.
It's in the Word, right? You know, and if in Colossians 1:12-13, we have been qualified for a share of this allotted portion. And we just need to take it. This God charges Joshua that he needs to take it, right? He doesn't just give it to them. He charges him to take it, meaning that there's a action required of us. You know, we have the two greatest gifts. Do you know, Tim, what the two greatest gifts that we have received? Huh? Spirit and the Word, right? We exercise our spirit to contact God, and we get into the Word to know God, to enjoy God, right? All his unsearchable riches, right? So, we need to be active. You know, I had a point in my life where all these were available to me. I was surrounded by people that loved the Lord, that were getting into the truth, and yet I just didn't have such a hunger, you know. And I told a brother, and he gave me a verse. He told me Amos 8:11. Amos. It's a book in the Bible. Amos 8, it says, "Indeed, the days are coming, declares the Lord Jehovah, when I will send the hunger into the land, not for bread nor for water, but for the hearing of the words of Jehovah." You know, this matter of the word, the lack of the word was a punishment to the children of Israel was a punishment that he would not speak to them. You know, and when he gave me that verse, I was just musing. Looking back, I was musing on the word. I'm like, Lord, give me a hunger for your word.
Amen.
Thank you made it so available to us. You know, it's right in front of us. And the word has been opened. And we just need to take it, right? Give me a proper hunger. In a sense, we need to be proactive in redeeming the time. I think a lot of us, where the rubber meets the road is that we just don't have time. We're too rushed. We're too occupied. But we need to really spend the time to get into the Word, to take the land, right? To possess it, to enjoy it. You know, you can never enjoy something when you don't take the time for it, right? So that was a good reminder for me to just we need a proper hunger for the Word. And, okay, so I'll read the first point and the second point. The book of the law was not to depart from his mouth, but he was to muse upon it day and night. Joshua was to be occupied with God's word and to let the word occupy him. You know, okay, so when I was courting, you could say I was occupied, right, with the wrong thing. But it says, you know, not with the wrong thing, but it reminded me. It says, muse upon it day and night. But I remember because she was far away. I had to contact her. So I used to wake up, you know, It's 5:30, run somewhere where I get Wi-Fi. In this case, it was Dunkin' Donuts. And I would Skype her in the morning when she gets out of work. And then I would, until I had a next schedule, I would spend time with her, Skype with her, talk to her. And then in the evening, when my schedule was done at like 10:30 p.m., I would go somewhere where I have Wi-Fi. And then I would speak to her, spend time with her until like 2 a.m. And then anyway, you know, this day and night, I was just occupied. Day and night, I was occupied. And, day and night, I was occupied. And it was, and, you know, things were not going my way. Even though I was investing all that time, I was being occupied, things were still not going my way. So anyway, there came to a point where I just settled everything. When I woke up, the first thing I did was just contact the Lord, just to spend time in His Word. And even when I went to bed, I looked forward to this time, just to read something, read some of the ministry, read some of the Word before I went to bed. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I really enjoyed the Psalms 119, 147, and 148. It says, I anticipated the dawn and cried out. I hoped in your words. My eyes anticipated the night watches, that I might muse upon your word. You know, this psalmist, he woke up before the dawn and cried out. He anticipated it. You know, he looked forward to it. He hoped in his words. This is such a pattern for us. Even at night, he woke up in the middle of the night that he might muse upon his words. I mean, I thought, you know, I love the Psalms because it has so much feeling. And you could tell the psalmist had experienced, you know, they desire for his ways, they desire for his words. Just, you know, they just had so much feeling for the Lord. So we also should, you know, take this pattern of, you know, just anticipating, you know. And there was a stretch in my life where I look forward to the morning times. Usually, things like that happen when you're going through something. You need some extra supply. But I look forward to spending time with the Lord. I look forward to getting into the Word. It wasn't a duty. It wasn't anything out of, it wasn't an obligation. It just, I look forward to it. Because, you know, so this should be a pattern for us, right? Even, you know, this morning I was trying to spend some time with the Lord. And, you know, I stumbled across the memorization verse sheet, and I just took one verse. You know, and I know you guys are here getting tested 3-4 times a day. It could be quite stressful, nerve-wracking. But, and, you know, and you get rushed to just memorize the verse. But like what Falam mentioned earlier, is really use the verses to, like, really converse with the Lord, to ponder over it, you know. Not to just memorize it for memorizing's sake, but to really get into the Word, word by word, phrase by phrase. And I think it has more benefit than you think you have if you take that approach. So use this opportunity. You guys here for 3-4 more days. Every morning, it doesn't have to be much, just one verse. And you just muse. Learn to muse. I'm telling you, we could practice. I'm not a master at musing on the Word, but we could all practice, right? Amen. We could set the time to practice. So we're all learning here. All right, Roman numeral 2. Let's all read it together.
To muse on the Word of God is to enjoy God's Word as His breath, and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God in, and to receive spiritual nourishment.
Hallelujah. To muse on the Word of God is to enjoy, right? Enjoy God's Word.
Amen.
I can't emphasize enough on this Word, you know? We need to enjoy the Word.
Amen.
Are you guys enjoying the Word?
Amen.
You know, and when you're enjoying the Word, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. You're you're being infused with the very breath of God.
Amen.
You know, this is, you know, the word is given to us for our enjoyment. It's not a book of law. It's a book for us to enjoy. So, and this nourishes us, just like you eat physical food to nourish your physical body. You know, when we enjoy the word, feed on the word, this nourishes us spiritually. You know, and it's okay if you're getting into the word, it could be dry sometimes, but just keep endeavoring. You know, the more you eat, you develop a taste for it. And I just, you know, since we're on this topic, musing on the word, I don't want you guys to think that this is just like a one-dimensional way of enjoying the word. You know, this is whatever way to help you to enjoy, right? To help you get released using the word. There's many ways of doing it. It's not just praying. It's not just pray reading. It's more. It includes more, you know, speaking to oneself in his presence. Speak to yourself. Use the word to speak to yourself, right? We could rejoice. You could sing the word. All these are included in musing on the word, right? So we need to be more dynamic in our enjoyment of the word. So, amen. A rich in meaning, the Hebrew word for muse, often translated meditate in King James Version, implies to worship, to converse with oneself, speak aloud. We need to open our mouths, right? I think it helps us to release. At the same time, we hear what we're saying. It keeps us attentive. It just helps us. Even to worship, you know, sometimes in the back reading, it says even bowing down, getting on your knees, worshiping God. This is to muse on the word, you know. It's not a set way or practice. It's just all these included. Amen. B, to muse on the word is to taste and enjoy it through careful considering, praying, speaking to oneself, and praising the Lord may also be included in musing on the word. You need to taste. I love this word, taste. You know, I heard that Falon is a steak fanatic. Pitmaster Falon. I don't know where he's at. But he loves to cook steak. He loves to eat steak. You know, I also love steak. So, you know, when you cook it and you cut a piece, do you just put it in your mouth and swallow it? No. Man, when I'm eating steak, I want to enjoy it, okay? And I even like even enjoying it to the point where I could, like, differentiate the quality of steak. You know, that even takes even more careful, you know, consideration just to, you know. So when you eat it, you want to not only taste it, but you want to, like, feel the texture, the juice, the flavor. You know, it's something. And I know you guys have this experience. When you eat it, you're like, oh, my goodness. This is so good. This is speaking to oneself. You're speaking to oneself. This is so good. Reminding yourself. This is so good. Oh, wow. Amazed. You know, you want to enjoy it. You just chew after chew, all that juice. Anyway, this is just an example, right? This should be our attitude when it comes to the word, right? That we shouldn't be so quick. You know, in the morning we get rushed. I know we're all busy in the morning. I know we're all busy, okay? We got things to do. But just take some time, just one verse. It doesn't have to be much. Just chew. Keep chew like a steak, you know. You want to taste it. You want to enjoy it. You know, not only taste, but you want to enjoy. I hope that our attitude changes when it comes to the word. It shouldn't be so formal, right? It shouldn't be so one-dimensional, right? We should learn to muse by learning to taste, by learning to enjoy, right? So, anyway, Andrew will continue. But I just hope that, you know, we have our attitude changes. We should our appreciation for the word should increase. And we have the way, we have the practices to do them, right? So, anyway. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let me read you one example. John Bunyan. John Bunyan. So, I appreciated this testimony. But the next day at evening, being under many fears, I went to seek the Lord. And as I prayed, I cried, and my soul cried to him in these words, with strong cries, O Lord, I beseech thee, show me that thou hast loved me with everlasting love. I had no sooner said it, but with sweetness this returned upon me as an echo or a sounding again. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now I went to bed in quiet. Also, when I woke up the next morning, it was fresh upon my soul, and I believed it. I like this matter of it returned upon me, you know, as an echo, sounding again and again. And when we're musing on the word, I guarantee it will return upon you, right? It will remind you. And that's what musing is about. We're not memorizing verses just for the sake of memory, coming into this year and then going out the next year. We want it to resonate. You know, we want it to just remain, and sometimes to remind you. So, returned upon me, right? We can muse on the word so that it may return upon us. Amen.
Amen. Like Hiram mentioned, this matter of musing might be somewhat new to some of us. Even Hiram and I will be the first to admit that, you know, we're not expert in any way. We're just novice in this, you know. We're endeavoring with all of you under the perfecting of the ministry to be, you know, I'm inspiring to be an expert on this, right? I want to be an expert. I want to be an excellent believer where we're being perfected by musing on the word. So I feel like this line, the exercising of the spirit, you know, has the word exercise, right? We're in a spiritual gym. You know, this is a gym right here. You know, Tim likes it. It's been going to the gym. You know, well, if you go to the gym, the most used equipment is just the bench and the press, bench press. You know, and the most asked question is like, how much do you bench? Right? That's everyone asks. Hey, how much do you bench, Tim? And then if someone is more serious, they will ask, how much do you squat? How much do you deadlift? These are advanced exercises. So here, we wanna ask ourselves, how much do you spend time with the Lord? Amen. That's the most basic question we should have in our experience with the Lord, right? How much time do you spend in the Word? How much time do you spend in the morning with God? In the afternoon, at night? So those two verses that Hiram mentioned, the psalmist anticipated at dawn. So he woke up in the morning, right, hoping in the word, hoping that the whole day, his hope, you know, will be in the word, right? And then my eyes anticipated the night watches. My understanding is that he's watching the night. I think back then, they were assigned to do night watches. And then, you know, you have to watch with your eyes, right? You know, you can't fall asleep when you're watching at night. So he said that my eyes anticipated night watches. You know, I'm such that I would muse upon the word. So as he was watching at night, he was also in his being musing on God's word. So same thing with our, you know, with our as we go through our daily life. You know, we have to study, we have to go to school, we have to work, we have to drive. You know, here and there. But within us, there's the hope that we'll be supplied by the word, and then there's also an exercise in our spirit. Right, that we'll be musing on God's word. So there's a portion from the how to enjoy God and how to practice the enjoyment of God. I'll just read some things here. It is really good. We're familiar with the terms. This is a chapter on beholding, intercession, waiting, and musing. Right, it's chapter 21. We're familiar with the terms beholding, intercession, waiting, and musing. But with spiritual matters, the most common things are often the most crucial and difficult to achieve. Right? It is often difficult to thoroughly and genuinely fulfill an apparently simple spiritual task. We might know what they mean, meaning that he was saying that we might know what intercession means, but not many are able to intercede. We can also say, after this message, you know, we might know what musing means, or we might have some understanding, right? But not many are able to muse in the way that is revealed in the Bible. So, and again, it's not a discouraging that don't even try, but we're endeavoring, right? That's why we go to the gym. We exercise. Doesn't matter how much that we're able to lift, how much able to run. We have to start somewhere, right? And then that's the hardest part, just starting. Actually, the hardest part is just going to the gym. the hardest is even harder than like the exercises that you do at the gym. So once you're there, praise the Lord, you're here. All of us are already in the spiritual gym here. So we're exercising together. You might not realize it, but you're getting stronger. So by the end of this week, by Friday, you'll be much stronger than you came, right? Here. Okay, let's read Roman number 3. A.
To chew the cud is to receive the word of God with much reconsideration.
So I'm not an expert in animals, so I just have to Google this just to explain a little bit, 30 seconds about the process. So a cow has 4 stomachs. So when he eats the grass, it's he eats it and moistens it, you know, in his mouth by chewing. So it got broken down, is moist a little bit, so it goes into the, when he swallows it, it goes through a process where the first and the second stomach is releasing some digestive liquids. So it can be broken down a little bit more, can become smaller, then after that process, it gets sent back to its mouth, right? So it's, and then all those things, which is now smaller and easier, I guess, to chew, and it's, you know, that's why a cow is always chewing something, kind of like, you know, some like to chew gum all day, you know. So and then it gets sent back again into the third and fourth stomach, right? That's the word cud. I mean, it's the chewing of the grass, you know. It's the grass that's been moistened and been broken down. So the key word here on us musing upon the word is reconsideration. You know, it's not consideration but reconsideration. So consideration might mean that we're not here trying to be a mental person, you know, in our reading. It's not that we just, oh, what does that mean, you know, I want to understand everything in here, I don't understand it, I'm going to research this, I'm going to Google this, I'm going to read all the footnotes. But the first attempt is you just read, and it goes into, it supplies your spirit, but I would say mainly it goes into your mind. You would kind of understand it. And then a lot of you are practicing this right now. I would say all of you are practicing this right now just to memorize. So it goes into your mind, right? It's kind of like the first and second stomach. It goes into your mind. But as you go through your day, reconsider those verses again, you know? Don't just forget about it. Don't just do it for the sake of the test, you know. Or even we have a practice. All of us that, you know, our book that we call the Holy Word for Morning Revival. You know, 3 or 2 or 3 verses in the morning. So we would take it, we would enjoy it, we would eat it. But as we go through our days, reconsider those verses again, right? Because the reconsiderations is actually what become our supply for the day. Those verses will become the constant supply, right? Even the Lord will remind us of those verses. That's one of the ways to muse. Okay, let's read B. So, okay, let's finish it with C.
Usually musing upon the word will be slower and finer than prayer reading the word.
So even right here, right, we can ask ourselves, like, you know, those two or three verses that we enjoy in the morning, how much do we enjoy it, right? The point B mentioned, if you take it too quickly, we shall not have very much enjoyment. But as we, if we chew the cud, as we take in the word, our enjoyment will increase. This is what we all desire, right? We want the enjoyment of the word to increase. We have more, you know. So we become a person. I ask myself, like, what kind of person anticipates the dawn of the morning? What kind of person anticipate the night watches? You know, the night watches, if we were assigned to do it, we would just be, I hope this will get done quick. You know, no one likes a graveyard shift, right? It's horrible. But here is such a person, so who anticipates it, so it's such that he can be in the word. So again, I would say that this is not a matter of receiving a method, not a technique. You know, this musing is not a technique, but it's a matter of us becoming a person who loves the word of God. I would say a person who anticipates the morning and the dawn and the night watches is a person who loves the word, right? He's a person who loves God. If you don't love God, you know, if you don't love the word, actually, they are synonym. We don't love God because we don't love the word, right? If a hunger, like Hiram just, that was a really good example. I really appreciate that. You can check with ourselves. You know, if you don't love the word of God that much, we actually probably would say to ourselves, we don't really actually love the Lord, right? And for those of you who love the Lord, you can also say that, oh, I actually, by loving the Lord leads us to love the word. In John, right, we can see that why the word is so important, right? Because the word is God, amen, right? God is the God of the word. So he's our God, and to know God here, right? We need to know the word. I was really helped by Brother Dennis sharing yesterday the two verses that he gave us, Hosea 6:6 and Daniel 11:32, I believe. In Hosea, right, Jehovah delights in the knowledge of God, right? So also here is a verse in one of the verses here, Psalms 104:34. The psalmist mentioned, may my musing be sweet to him. So the goal of this person is that when he was musing on the word of God, that such that his action, his musing, may be sweet to God. You know, it's so sweet to know that God actually enjoys our getting into the word. So, of course, you know, we need to be supplied. And God wants to dispense himself into us, right? This one side, we're on the receiving side. We're on the blessed side. We have a rich Father that wants to dispense all his riches to us. But it's also a mutual satisfaction. God delights, right? And then our musing is sweet to God. And the second verse, you know, that was mentioned yesterday is Daniel 11, right? Those who know their God, you can even switch that. God, those who know the word of God, may show strength and take action. And then the first strengthening is to be strengthened to be in the word of God. It's easy to read the news. It's so easy. I waste all my time reading the news. News.google.com. That's my most frequent visit, you know, website. It's like it takes no willpower. It takes, you know, even when you're like so tired, you can still read the news, right? It really takes no mental energy. But I do feel that we really need to be strengthened to get into the word, right? We need to be strengthened by God to muse on the word of God. As I was preparing this, so I made a copy of the outline and I put it in my pocket, put it in my backpack. So as I have some time, I would just kind of read it, you know, here and there. And then of course I don't really get that much. So the first time Hiram and I get together, we were like, Hiram, what do you want to share? I don't know. Hiram would ask me, what do you want to share? I'm not sure yet. I'm not really sure what I have, you know. But then, It's not until I actually sit down, you know, and I remember even with the exact time, you know, my wife and my son were asleep, so I have some time to be by myself, and I sit down, and then I started reading these verses again, started reading the outline, started reading the ministry portion at the back, and there's just a lot more that came. So it just shows that the Lord requires our time. You can't slight him just saying, Lord, thank you, I love you, Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus part is the warm-up, and the actual exercise is actually getting into the Word. Right, okay, let's I'm going to just continue with four. Continue with A and B also.
We actively muse upon the attributes of God in our spirit. We muse upon his dealings with us and his promises to us. As we muse, our inner being is filled with much feeling.
Amen. We should be calm, turn to our spirit. So I guess my sharing was, this is according to B. There's somewhat a requirement here. I think Brother Dennis mentioned about this too this morning, that we should be calm. There's four steps that are mentioned here. The first step is that we should calm ourselves. If you're so busy with something else, you know, I think all of us have this experience, you know, we're doing all these things, but like, okay, I'm going to read a little bit. But then, you know, we might not even remember what we read. So we need to calm ourselves. And as we're calming ourselves, we turn to the Spirit. We can say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I open my heart. And then our mouth is connected to our spirit, right? Like Alan mentioned, no one can call on the Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. So we call, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now we're actually doing this point right here. We're turning to our spirit.
Amen.
And then, and as we turn, the veil is taken away.
Right.
And what happened? We see God. Right, and then as we see God, God has a lot of feelings. Really, He has a lot of feelings, and He conveys His feeling through the Word. You know, there's no way to guess God's feeling without the Word. You know, so as we read the Word, actually, this is the inward knowing of God. We might know the Word of God. We might even memorize it. But not until those words gets into our being, gets into our spirit, that we know, we really know what the real meaning of those verses, right? And then we should pray according to the inward sense. So like Hiram mentioned, this matter of amusing is not just pray, it's not just pray reading, but in the sense that it includes a lot more, right? Because as we're reading, as we're praying, the Lord will lead us. The Lord would open more, a little bit more of His feeling. I just want to mention something that I enjoyed this morning a lot, that I was considering this. I was walking, and then in two verses in Genesis came up. In Genesis 3, right, Jehovah walks. He was walking in the cool of the day in the garden. And he was looking for Adam. And Adam, but actually Adam and Eve, they were hiding. They were kind of afraid. Because they did something wrong, right? So and then again, Jehovah unveils himself to Adam and Eve. But there's another verse that was positive. In Genesis 18, Abraham and Jehovah was walking. After they had dinner, they had meal together. They were doing a lot. There was a lot of speaking, a lot of conversation. And then Jehovah was leaving, and Abraham was like, "Oh, let me walk with you." Right? They started walking, and they started walking. Many of you are familiar, but some are not familiar, but it's okay. But the point is that as they were walking, after they were eating, after they were spending a lot of time together, actually then that was the time when Jehovah revealed what was really in his heart. So this reminded me of this, that the Lord might not reveal his heart that quick to us. You know, we want an instant. I love instant things, you know. So a text message is instant. And we expect an instant response from others, right? But the Lord takes time, in a matter of revealing what's in His heart, in a matter of revealing what he enjoys, his particular things, his feelings about others, is very, I would say it's slower, right? He would take time. So we need to spend the time with him. If you don't spend the time with him, in a sense that we wouldn't know what was in God's heart. So I guess lastly, I just want to mention some of the things that I mentioned in the reading and then in the Psalms. I just summarize it for you. So the experience that we have in the Psalms regarding musing, I already mentioned the first part regarding reconsideration. So there's the element of reconsideration. So there's also the element of a conversing or speaking to ourselves. It's not weird to speak to ourselves. You know, we're declaring the divine facts. You know, these are the positive things in the universe. And then we're declaring this to God, to the enemy, and to actually we need to declare those things to ourselves. The words in the Bible, we need to speak it to ourselves because we need them, right? And there's a matter of some of the verses in Psalm is that musing on the works of God's hands. Anyway, I just want that, and then we need to muse on the Lord's mercy. Muse on God's salvation. Muse on His gracious supply. I think that's also another element that I enjoy here. We need to muse on the Lord, the Lord's humanity. He's fine, He's tender, He's careful, He's dignified, He's glorious, and He's great. This year, one of the experiences for I have from the Lord that I remember the most is that you know, we're going into the material of the Lord as the high priest, right? And I love that part. I think we all love that part, and we sing it a lot too. And then I was getting into it, and then, you know, I think days after or even weeks after, I would just start conversing with the Lord, you know, in a complaining way. Lord, what about that brother? You know, I wish that he would just do more things in the church life. You know, it would make my life easier. You know, so I don't have to do them. You know, what about that brother too, Lord? It's like he's so capable. You know, this and that, and then immediately there's the Lord reminded. The Lord told me that how much have you prayed for them? And I was like, It's like, oh, not that much, not at all. So do we know our Lord is high priest? He never ceases interceding for all of us. So that's who he is, right? So in order to know him, in order to follow him, we need to be one with him in this interceding. So even in our thinking of the brothers and the sisters, it shouldn't be in any way critical, because the Lord is not critical, right? The Lord is interceding, is our high priest. That's who he is, right? He intercedes for us. So I still remember, That was really convicting to me, you know. That was really strong, the Lord speaking to me that we need to pray for one another, right? Anyway, I just appreciate that there's when we give ourselves to be in the Word, you know, or when we give ourselves to call on the Lord, and then in this whole week regarding the exercise of the Spirit, the Lord will have a way in us, right? And our spirit will be so strong, right? Our spirit will be the most prominent part of our being. Sorry to use this illustration again, but I think it's so easy to understand regarding going to the gym. Especially, I heard that the New Jersey brothers are like the bodybuilders in Lowe's Recovery. Right? Because us male brothers are so vain that we want to have big chests. Because then that's why we bench a lot. So what about our spiritual muscles? What is the most prominent part? We want our spirit to be the most prominent part. And the way we do this is by contacting God. Amen. By musing on the Word. Amen. Right? By calling. Amen. And later we'll get into the matter of singing, praying, and giving thanks. So all these things are very beneficial. Right? This is the matter of the exercise of our spirit. So we can be God's testimony. And our testimony for our testimony is the proper testimony. Amen. That we would represent who God is. When others see us, you see, wow, he's a God-man. Why? Because his spirit is so strong. Amen. Right. Amen. So let's read the focus together. Amen. I think Hiram and I took all our time, right? Yeah. Okay. We can take a. Oh, Hiram, Yoshi, announcement. Yeah, Shepherd. Shepherd will just give some announcement, and then we can take a break.